On Monday, we read from your emails. You sent in a wide range of opinion during our program about kids and images of war. Bev Worster in Lawrence, Kansas, wrote in with a story 50 years ago when she was 10 years old. She found a magazine in a closet with very disturbing pictures. On closer examination, she wrote, "I realized I was looking at a pile of human bodies. As I turned the pages, I saw gaunt, naked people lined up and railroad boxes filled with people. My family had talked about World War II victory gardens and ration stamps, but never the Holocaust. It was many years before I understood what I was seeing. I wish I had known what the photos meant when I was a child. I think it's better to explain these things to children. They deserve to know that the world is not a perfect place." Anne in Ohio thinks we should be cautious not only about what kids can see, but what they can hear. "We do not have a TV in our household, but I have seen how audio discussions of terrible war images have a negative effect on my kids' listening. It's been especially important for me to keep the radio off those topics in the car where there's little else they can distract themselves with." Our program on the 50th anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education elicited a lot of personal stories from the early days of desegregation. C.G. Sultan reminded us that it wasn't just public schools that struggled with change. In 1962, while my friends were readying themselves to desegregate the public high school in Orangeburg, South Carolina, I desegregated the Academy of the Sacred Heart in Cincinnati, Ohio. I was the only one in high school for 4 years. One of my classmates advised me that before our freshman year began, the nuns sent letters to the parents of white students asking if they'd be willing to have their daughter room with a Negro. This classmate told me further that her parents had said no. I was on the honor roll for all 4 years and graduated number 3 in my class. Lisa Weingart in San Antonio, Texas, spent most of her school years on military bases surrounded by classmates of many different races, cultures, and religions. "This mix was part of my life," she wrote, "and I must say that I grew up with a great level of tolerance for other cultures. My wide awakening was when I was in my early teens and we lived on a military base without a school. The children were bused to a local county school. It was there where I learned some hard lessons about hatred and intolerance, but I'm happy to say that as a woman now in her 40s, the earlier lessons prevailed." And Eric Demi sent us this email, "Can you explain who T.C. Williams was?" T.C. Williams is the name of the high school in Alexandria, Virginia, that hosted our broadcast marking Brown versus Board. The school was also the subject of the movie Remember the Titans. Well, Patrick Welsh joins us now. He teaches English at T.C. Williams High School. He's the co-author of Tales Out of School, a teacher's candid account from the front lines of the American high school today. And Patrick, good of you to join us.
Hi, Neil. How are you doing?
Tell us a little bit about this person. Who was T.C. Williams?
T.C. Williams was the superintendent of schools in Alexandria, Virginia, from, I think it's 1955 till the late 60s. And there was controversy about naming our school after him because he was, when he was superintendent, he was, like a lot of other Virginia superintendents, opposed to integration. And in 1965, a black cafeteria worker from Parker Gray School, which was the all-black school, enrolled a couple of her children in George Washington, which was a white school, and T.C. Williams fired her. And shortly after he did, the Justice Department threatened to come in and sue the school system, and then he had to back down. And because of the threat of the Justice Department, integration was sped along in Alexandria. Now, we're building a new school, which it'll be up in 5 years.
And so I guess there's a controversy over whether his name should now be perpetuated.
There really isn't a controversy. A couple of people in the community complained, but kids, both African-American and white, and parents, African-American and white, they want to retain the name because the name has become synonymous with diversity. And when our teams go into white school districts to play, the name is really synonymous with black athletes and black fans, so it's kind of an ironic slap in the face to T.C. Williams and other segregationists that name is now associated with diversity and integration.
Well, Patrick Welsh, thanks very much.
Thank you, Neil.
Patrick Welsh teaches English at T.C. Williams High School in Alexandria, Virginia. And finally, several of you emailed during our segment on Nick Drake. Jessica Spiegels from Portland, Oregon, was typical of fans introduced to Nick Drake's music through a Volkswagen commercial. "As much as we might hate the idea of great music being used in commercials," she wrote, "in Nick Drake's case, it helped to introduce him to a whole new generation of fans. I fell in love with that voice, a voice I wouldn't have heard otherwise." Well, since we ran out of time at the end of that show, it's also a voice you didn't get to hear that day, so here it is now, Nick Drake's Pink Moon.
I saw it written and I saw it say, pink moon,
pink moon, and I get you on the pink moon. Yes, pink moon. Pink, 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 pink. Pink moon.
If you have questions, comments, or corrections for us, our email address is totn@npr.org. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.